The bus pulls out of Moshi's stand just before 8, and I have the window seat on the left, which turns out to be the right choice. For the first hour, we climb through the coffee belt, and I watch the Chaga home gardens give way to open farmland, the banana groves thinning out as the road rises. I am leaving Moshi today, not for visit, but for good, moving to Karatu, a ward of Karata town on the Arusha, Ngorongoro Highway, and the whole landscape is shifting west with me. We pass through Arusha without stopping, and I notice how different it feels from the passenger seat of a bus, the town a blur of Dala Dala minibuses and roadside stalls selling roasted maize. The highway opens up after that, and the land starts to tilt. We are climbing, not steeply, but steadily, and the air in the bus gets noticeably cooler. By the time we reach MTO Wambu, the Rift Valley town about 20 kilometers east of Karata, the driver pulls over for a 10-minute break, and I step out into a wall of heat that feels like a different country. MTO Wambu is a strange and wonderful place, a strip of green in the dry valley, famous for its banana and rice farms and for the mix of around 120 ethnic groups packed into one town. I buy a bottle of water from a stall, and the woman tells me, in that way Tanzanians do, pull, pull, slowly, slowly, as she hands me my change. I smile and nod because she is right, and I have been rushing all week. Back on the bus, we climb the escarpment out of the valley and the temperature drops again, 10 degrees in as many minutes. The road curves along the edge of the Rift Valley, and below me, Lake Manyara is a silver sheet in the heat haze, the trees along its shore tiny toothpicks. I can see why the flamingos come here, thousands of them, apparently in the shallows, though from this height, they are just a pink smudge. The bus grinds up through the gears, and then we crest the rise and the land flattens out into green highland fields, and I know we are in Karatu. Karata Town Center, they call it Safari Junction, and I see why within seconds of stepping off the bus. The main street is a strip of safari lodges, goose houses, and tour operators, with banks and busy market stalls spilling onto the pavement. A land cruiser with a roof hatch rolls past, then another. Every third vehicle on the road is a safari jeep, and the pavement is full of people in khaki and sun hats, guides shepherding small groups towards lunch spots. I am not here for the crater today, though. I am here to live. My new place is in Karatu, the residential ward just west of the town center, at about 1,540 meters. It is a small one-bedroom house behind a high wall, with a tiny yard and a corrugated iron roof, and the rent is around 1,070,000 Tanzanian shillings a month, which works out to something over $400 US. That is the going rate in Karata these days, I am told. Rents have been rising as the safari business pulls more people into the region. I walk through the empty rooms, the afternoon light falling through a small window onto a concrete floor, and I feel a strange calm. This is the first place I have had entirely to myself since I landed in Tanzania. My landlord, an Iraku man named Mr. Lizer, shows me how to work the gas cooker and where the water tank is, and then he asks if I want to see the farm. His family has been here for generations, he tells me, and the Iraku have farmed these highlands for as long as anyone can remember, terracing the hillsides and growing maize and beans and coffee on the steep slopes below the volcano. I follow him out the back gate and into a narrow path between two hedges, and I am immediately surrounded by green. The terraces are extraordinary, step after step of maize and beans falling down the hillside, each one held by a low stone wall. The soil is dark and rich, and there is a smell of damp earth and ripening coffee. Between the maize, I spot the coffee bushes, their leaves a deep glossy green, the cherries just starting to turn red. This is the harvest season, Mr. Liza says, pulling a handful of cherries from a branch and offering them to me. I squeeze one and the pulp is sweet and floral. In 2 weeks, we will pick everything and the washing station will be busy until December. We walk up the hill instead of down, towards the forest edge, and he shows me the boundary of his land. The view opens up behind me, the whole valley below, with the Ngorongoro Highlands rising in the west and Lake Manyara a distant glint to the east. It is the kind of view that makes you understand why people call this place the Green Highlands, though it is the dry season. The winter here means crisp mornings and cool evenings, but the coffee harvest keeps everything alive and working. I leave Mr. Lizer at his gate and walk back into town, taking the main road past the banks and the tour offices. I am hungry, and I've been wanting to try the food at a place called Oel Mezer Restaurant, which I passed earlier on the main street. I order a plate of Nyama Choma, grilled goat with fries and a small salad and a fresh passion fruit juice, and the whole thing comes to about 8,000 shillings, roughly $3. The meat is charred at the edges and salty, and I eat it slowly, watching the light fade outside the window. After lunch, I walk past the NMB Karada Bank branch to see where I will need to go tomorrow to sort out my banking. I already have a SIM card from Vodacom, which is the network everyone uses for M-Pesa mobile money, but I need to get a NIDA number now that I am a resident, because that is the ID you use for everything, banking and contracts, and even topping up your phone without hassle. The bank is a modest building, and there is a small queue outside, but the staff are smiling and patient, and I remind myself to bring my passport and residence permit in the morning. In the late afternoon, I walk down towards the Old Uni Hills, where the coffee farm lodges are. The road passes through stands of grevillea trees, planted for shade, and the sound of birds is constant, a low chattering that follows me along the verge. I stop at Kafaru Coffee Estate, a working farm that opens its doors for tours, and I ask the guide if I can just walk the perimeter. She agrees, and I spend an hour following the farm paths, passing under banana canopy and through rows of coffee, the cherries now clearly ripening, red and yellow among the green. There is a particular sound that defines this place, and it is not the safaris or the engines. It is the quiet rhythm of the farm, the rustle of the banana leaves, the low murmur of workers talking in the distance, and the steady, patient sound of water moving through the washing station. I stop by the station to watch them process the day's pickings, the cherries being sorted, the pulp being rinsed away. The guide tells me the cooperative pays about 1,200 shillings per kilo of fresh cherries, which sounds low until you remember that the land itself is the asset, and it has been in these families for a very long time. I am thinking about that as the light starts to go, the sun dropping behind the volcano, and the air turning cold quickly. I walk back through town, past the Lilac Cafe, where a few travelers are sitting outside with coffees, and I notice how the noise of the day has faded, leaving just the sound of the wind and the occasional bark of a dog. I stop at a small shop to buy bread and milk, the half-kilo loaf costing about 2,000 shillings and the milk about 3,100 shillings for a liter. The shopkeeper, an elderly woman, asks me if I am new to town, and when I say yes, she nods and says, "Karibu, karibu." Welcome, welcome, and I feel the first threads of belonging. That night, back in my empty house, I sit on the step outside my door and listen to the dark. A single light burns in a house across the valley, and the stars are immense, shockingly bright above the black outline of the highlands. I think about the road south, the central highway spine that I will follow eventually through the rock art at Kondoa and down to Dodoma, but tonight I am not thinking about the next move. I am in Karatu, in the Coffee Highlands, in the middle of the dry season, and the journey has reached its first true home. Tomorrow I will go to the market, and the day after I will walk the Andoro Trail, and at some point I will take a day trip down to Lake Iasi to meet the Hadzabe and Detoga communities that live along its southern shore. There is so much to explore from this base, and I have only just arrived. But there is a lesson I have been learning, slowly, from the elephant caves and the coffee terraces and the Iraku farmers who have worked this land for generations. Pull, pull, slowly, slowly. And for tonight, that is enough. Everything I have mentioned today, from the practicalities of getting a SIM to the tour companies that can take you to Lake Iasi, is in the episode notes. Karibu, and I will talk to you soon.